everybody. Welcome to the JS Online and Packers News Packers Podcast. We are here in the Motor City, myself, Tom Silverstein of the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, and Jim Ozarski of the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, and it's really quiet in the Ford Field. I was going to say the Metrodome for some reason, but it's not the Metrodome. It's the Ford. It's Ford Field, and it's a lot quieter than it was earlier when the Lions were putting a pounding on the Packers. Yeah. Really a bad game for the Packers from the start. And there's so many things we could go over in this game that were bad. But I think we have to look at the beginning of the game to really assess what went wrong here.
Yeah, and it was a harbinger of things to come, special teams-wise, Tom. I mean, look, Mason Crosby obviously had a career worst day.
Five misses, four field goals, and one extra point.
Right. Mm-hmm. He called it an anomaly in life.
Really?
But the reason the Detroit got on the board was Packers defense forces a punt, and Kevin King is blocking, trying to get out of the way, and, you know, the officials said the ball bounced off of him. Mm-hmm. Tremont Williams said postgame that the refs told him it hit Detroit, but clearly that's not what they, you know, eventually ruled, and 1 yard later, it's a 7-0 deficit.
Yeah.
And it just said, and then special teams was awful all the way around.
Yes.
And it just it started there.
Yeah. You know, I mean, J.K. Scott didn't even get to punt hardly.
He might have had the best day.
Yeah. Yeah. He didn't, well, assuming his holds were
okay. Yeah, right.
But I assume Crosby didn't complain about it. I asked Bradley about the snaps, and he said, you know, Crosby indicated to nobody that the stuff was off.
Right. Yeah, no, after the game he was asked about that, and he said, well, of course we'll look at the film, but he's like, he said he just couldn't get a line on it.
Yeah.
It was just one of those days, and you know, so he misses. So the Packers, and that was the thing with the special teams, Tom, because and people forget about this. I think you can at this point. So they score a touchdown at 7-0 off the botched punt return. Ty Montgomery has a fantastic kick return.
Yeah.
64 yards down into Detroit territory, called back because of a Josh Jones hold.
Yeah.
So then what happens then? That leads to the first Crosby miss, which leads to another Detroit touchdown. So all of that special teams disaster leads to 14-0 on both, you know, early in the game.
Exactly. And I'm going to tell you what. I want to get the early part just to give everybody watched it. They saw what happened there, and the Packers were playing from behind. But what struck me the most was just you kept waiting for some kind of a big play, something from Clay Matthews, from Nick Perry, from Clinton Dix, from Mike Daniels, Jimmy Graham.
Right.
Other than Davante Adams, who had a monster day and deserves a ton of credit for playing with a bad calf and performing the way he did, the rest of the guys were absent. And it really, to me, it's starting to come clear, and I didn't necessarily believe it before, that this team lacks playmakers, and we're seeing a real potential, a potential rebuild coming.
Yeah.
You know, if Clay Matthews doesn't pick it up, you know, Jimmy Graham, he probably won't be here. I mean, this is all too early to talk about this stuff.
But signs of it going the wrong way. And yeah, you're right, Davante Adams, great day. Could have been a lot better if he holds on to it. What in his world is if he calls himself one of the best receivers in the league, corner route, he's got a catch.
Yeah, I mean, a tough catch.
A tough catch, but I mean, you know, he stood there and said that was one he should have had. But you're right, though. I mean, on the other side of things, though, that's why they're paid that way. Jimmy Graham's making $10 million a year to catch that touchdown. Would have been a highlight. He was leaping. He was falling backwards. But when he makes the diamond in his hand and it goes right through,
right through,
that that's why he's the highest paid tight end in the National Football League.
And I thought the play in the end zone on the back shoulder was even more indicative because it looked like his legs weighed 1,000 pounds.
Yeah.
He just didn't move.
And, right.
Yeah. They may have really made a mistake on him. We'll see as the season goes on.
Yeah, for our podcast listeners, and largely I didn't tweet this because stuff happens during the game. He's been having the maintenance the last few weeks on the knee. In between series, I don't know if it was every series, but he was going to the sideline and getting a black ice wrap on that right knee.
Really?
In game. So, you know, maybe he's dealing with something that's a little more serious than they want to let on.
Yeah.
Or, to your point, that's part of the profile of the guy you sign.
Yeah.
And you have to either expect it, you know, at 30-something plus years old and a lot of tread on those legs.
I just don't see the speed. I don't see him accelerating away from anybody. I don't see him breaking away from anybody. It was pretty shocking. I also think it's kind of shocking the way Rodgers is playing. I think this is not... He's not in command of his own ability right now.
Right.
He's missing throws that I've never seen him miss before. He's getting out of the pocket like he likes to do. But I think he's holding on to the ball too long. He's looking for big plays instead of just letting the offense work itself.
Right.
I don't know. What was your impression?
No, you're right. I think there were a few plays early. Again, you know, this theme of slow starts for both sides of the ball. I mean, there was that little kind of boot to his right, a couple of receivers in the flat, Jimmy Graham, and I don't remember who was behind Graham, or maybe it was Kendricks, but there was sort of mirrored routes at different depths, and he threw it kind of in between both of them and went off one hand, and that happened again. And then there was a play to Marquez Valdez-Scantling where the ball hit Scantling in the back of the right leg. I mean, you know, a lot of times I tend to give veteran quarterbacks the benefit of the doubt of route depth, but I'm like a play like that where it's so out in front of them and they're both sort of moving in the same direction. That was he just missed them.
His arm slot was weird on that too.
Yeah.
I'm noticing throwing a lot off his back foot.
Which that left knee is the, you know.
Maybe. Now he's done that more and more as his career's going on. You know, Favre used to do that all the time too. And it's a quick way to get the ball out. But I don't know. I just see... there was another play, an Adams play that he missed. I think it was a slant or something. I think he said that it would have gone the whole way if he had hit it. I can't exactly remember which play it was. But regardless, he is not real sharp right now. And
that's not good if the rest of your receiving core is not. I mean, look, Valdez-Scantling and I thought Equanimeous St. Brown showed well for the little bit they had the ball. But again, these drives... I mean, Mason Crosby lined up for 5 field goals. These drives stopped at the 23, the 24, the 20. You know, Jimmy Graham, for what we just said, Tom, is still getting abused by multiple defenders if he's lining up online. And we kind of wrote about it this week, you know, about do they need to help him? With formations and certain routes, because teams are really trying to take him away, and there's no other option yet.
Except today, I saw him lined up wide at some points, and the coverage that they got, he didn't beat it.
Yeah, that is true.
You know?
Yeah, in open field, yeah.
And so now I'm wondering whether it's just him.
Yeah.
You know, his numbers are okay. He had, what, 6 catches for what?
76 yards.
But he had 11 targets.
Yeah.
You know? 5 of those. You know, he could have had a really big day.
Right.
And he's not making clutch catches in the end zone. He and Rodgers don't seem to have any chemistry.
Right.
2-point conversion. He's made for a 2-point conversion.
Right.
And they didn't even throw it to him. I don't really understand that whole thing.
Right. I think, you know, and I know the listeners, Tom, are screaming in their car at the office you know, Aaron Jones, 7 carries, mm-hmm. you know, 5.7 yards, and just wondering where.
And you know, those were all in the first half. Yeah. He did not have a carry in the second half. Now, they threw 35 times, including sacks.
Yeah, you're down 24.
And they don't. He's not the best pass blocker. He makes mistakes, and they wanted Montgomery and Williams, but you know, it's kind of dying for a screen. Right. They were dying for a screen pass to him. He's just a little bit more explosive. I understand it, but you got to find ways to get the ball in his hands. And I didn't think they did that. You know, they were missing Randall Cobb, and they were missing Geronimo Allison. And I actually think Allison is more of a – they missed him more than they missed Cobb, just because he's been playing really well, and Graham has been taking, I think, some pressure off of him.
Right. He's a downfield threat.
Yeah.
That Rodgers trusts.
Yeah. But still, Scantling is becoming a pretty nice receiver. He's very much reminds me of Allison with more speed.
Yeah. Yeah, there was definitely some progress if you think about, you know, it's his second career start, but first as the number two,
mm-hmm.
where you're part of the defensive game plan.
Right.
You know, there were growing pains for him, though, and St. Brown in that regard. I mean, there was the sideline catch. He did catch it, but it was a college play. He got 1 foot down and didn't do the other one, and what happens after that? Strip sack.
Right.
There's, you know, 5 minutes in the game, kind of forgetting how to run out of bounds the right way to actually stop the clock. Mm-hmm. So it's the clock, you know, for another 40 seconds burns when you're so, I mean, there were little things like that are teachable, correctable. But, you know, that as you mentioned earlier about sort of rebuilding this offense maybe in some degree. I mean, he's a young player that at least is showing, okay, there's something there. There's a reason why he's, you know, was a draft pick.
Yeah. And you know, the Lions came in, I'm sure, saying, okay, if some combination of Cobb, Allison, and Adams does not play, we're just going to stack the line of scrimmage and dare him to throw it at us.
Yeah.
And that's a lot of what they did. I mean, they dropped back a little bit into cover two later, but I thought they really, really did a nice job of mixing it up and not getting gashed by the run game. They didn't give up a lot of big plays.
No, and, you know, obviously taking a multiple score lead early always helps with that.
Yeah, changed it a lot.
And they covered well. Look, you know, we wrote this during the week at jsonline.com about the Detroit rush, that it wasn't necessarily one-on-one special guys winning. It was coverage, second, third, fourth efforts. And that's what happened. Aaron Rodgers held on the ball. He admitted as much post-game. It leads to a couple blindside chase downs.
All his fault.
Yeah, 2 fumbles lost.
I thought the protection was excellent.
I thought so, too. I mean, these 4 sacks, I think there was 1 sack that I remember Brian Bulaga getting beat. You know, they brought a linebacker around who's been really pretty good at this year for a pressure. But other than that, I think 3 of those were on the quarterback.
Mm-hmm. I think so, too.
Yeah.
So, you know, so it wasn't a really good game by him. But by the standards in the second half, they do make a little bit of a rally. Yeah. And at that point, you're like, okay. I kept thinking back to, I remember, a game here, and it would happen in other places, too. Julius Peppers at age, you know, 36, you could always count on him in a big game to make a strip sack and get a fumble. I mean, I'm pretty sure it happened in that NFC Championship game in Seattle. It happened some other places. And you're like, okay, well, that's what Clay Matthews, that's what Nick Perry, that's what Mike Daniels are supposed to be doing.
Right.
Nothing.
Daniels
played pretty well against the run, but
he had a big offside penalty.
He did.
That extended a drive. We wondered what momentum, if any, this defense could build off of, you know, slapping around a bad rookie quarterback. This looked just like a team we saw the first 3 weeks of the season defensively. I mean, not all 12 penalties were on them, but, I mean, there were more than a few. And then that deep ball, that they had 196 yards and a touchdown of Detroit deep balls called back due to their own penalties, but they were there. They were open.
Mm-hmm.
They had a 60-yard catch and run.
Mm-hmm.
We knew they'd be challenged, but you saw some of those same inconsistencies. So that lack of a pass rush and you know, some coverage issues. Kevin King came back and had a had a bad day. Josh Jackson had a bad day.
Yeah, yeah. They really missed Jair Alexander.
Yeah.
You know, you hesitate to say that because he's a rookie and he's going to take his lumps. But he right now he's their number two corner.
Yeah.
You know,
he's consistent. Right.
You know, and Tremont got a little lucky today, too.
Yeah, he was beat on the one that what should have been the 46-yard touchdown.
Yeah.
I mean, that was – and then there, I think there was another deep ball. Marvin Jones dropped it. Now, I think the Lions went down and scored. But that was another deep ball that, you know, we might have to go look back if there's some safety issues. Again, it looked like on one touchdown, Kevin King was trying to pass off and Ha Ha Clinton Dix, but went the other way, and now the middle of the field is wide open again. It looked a little bit – like Washington.
Yes, it did. Well, that's at least the second time. And then there was another, the Galladay touchdown in the back of the end zone. I don't know who was supposed to be where.
Right.
I mean, King put a jam on Galladay, and I don't know if he got off balance and was supposed to follow him. Most instances like that, you got some help.
Right. He was really upset once Galladay sort of got himself together. And I don't know. I mean, who knows?
I tried to ask him about it, but... he had a huge gauze bandage and stitches on its chin. He got stepped on.
Oh, that's what happened with the Golden Tate.
Stepped on
with
the, okay. Wow. Yeah, and he could barely talk, so I could give him a break and said, all right, don't worry about it. But I really would have liked to know what he was upset about or whether he took that on himself or not.
Right. You know, so, Tom, I mean, I don't know about you, but if this feels like the Washington post-game podcast in a lot of ways. And looking ahead to a team coming into Lambeau with a bad quarterback and, where it's kind of a get-right game, but this is week five.
Should have been when they started to coalesce a little
bit.
You know, Rodgers' knee is better. You know, he's taking snaps from under center.
Yeah.
You know, their run game was pretty decent last week, and by the numbers, it's pretty good. And I understand. I mean, I still think McCarthy has to. When they got down 14-0, I don't think you panic. I think you can still play somewhat of a conservative game and work your way back into it.
Right.
Maybe you use your punter instead of, you know, having Rodgers chuck it all over the place. You play a little field position game.
Yeah.
Of course, when your kicker's missing,
that really changed the dynamic. I it's not as easy to say, well, Mason Crosby left all these points on the board and they lost by 8. You know, the game doesn't really flow that way. It's not that simple. But you're right, though. I mean, that changed some things. You know, they still kept going to him, but clearly late when they went for two again and went for fourth down. I mean, they were chasing touchdowns at that point.
Yeah.
That's just, as Devontae Adams couldn't have said it any better, they need to do it right away. And I don't know, you know, we mentioned Aaron Jones. Is it as simple as Tom, okay, the offensive line is the one part of this offense that seems to be coalescing? Do you just give it to 33? I mean, Mike McCarthy told you in a great interview, great piece on JS Online about this offense and issues and Rodgers is secretariat and he's I mean, you don't want to take the ball out of his hands, but how do you help all of this start faster? Do you just run the ball to start? Get that action game going.
It seems like they're chasing the past to me. Like they're chasing their past offense and just chasing the past of Rodgers playing at his peak instead of playing this that he's hurt, and I know McCarthy said in that interview that, you know, he's very aware of Rodgers, but I think his return to full health is going to be a process, and they're still counting on him too much, and he's not delivering, and I don't know what they can do other than use those running backs.
Right.
And be find a way to... another thing I thought, and I mentioned this in the live blog, was that he just refused to go to his checkdowns.
That, and we talked about this even with Washington and so, more so with Buffalo, too, just pushing the envelope a little bit down the field.
Yeah, exactly. And so if you're going to... If you're going to throw it down the field and it's not there and your protection is good and they're playing coverage, just dump it off to Aaron Jones. Dump it off to Jamal Williams. It's a six-yard game.
Yeah.
You know? And, yeah, you're going to have to grind it down the field.
Right.
And I don't know if that's what it's going to take. Somehow they have to hammer that in. Maybe the return of Cobb and Allison sparks them. I do think the defense is going to be up and down all year.
Yeah.
I just think that's part of being playing a new scheme.
Yeah, and without lack of a pass rush.
Yeah, and without a pass rush, you know, because he's got to generate pass rush right now, and he had to blitz in that game, and a few times it hurt him.
Right. So, yeah, is it possible a two-time MVP is pressing? You know, like I use a baseball. You know, Brewers win, going to the NLCS, and I'm going to actually bring up a Cubs player, believe it or not. John Lester, you know, he won how many World Series with Boston, signs a $100-plus million contract, and admitted he pressed because it was like, I'm paid to do a thing. Mm-hmm. And I don't think – I mean, he's human. So coming off a year – Mike McCarthy mentioned it. He came back so ready to be ready after last season. I mean, maybe it is possible a quarterback is pressing.
Yeah. Well, we found out what happens if you take the pass game away from him. He gets all ticked off.
Yeah.
You know, McCarthy tried to run it some more against Buffalo, and Rodgers reacted. So I don't know what it's going to take for everybody to get on the same page.
Right.
But right now, it's not.
Right. Honestly, and again, I mean, look, the raw numbers the last few weeks for the run game, Tom, look good in terms of yards per carry in some effect. Maybe it's Aaron Jones and it's 6 yards a pop to start the game.
Mm-hmm.
Because, look, Aaron Rodgers does want to win. They all, as I think Mark Murphy said, they're all coming from the same place, right? Maybe that's the best way to – what can you say if – the run game is getting you second and four, third and two, and then you're just kind of plugging along.
Yeah.
You're not really going to, I guess you could. But, I mean, usually you're not. You're going to kind of roll with that. At least to get you going. I don't know.
Yeah,
I don't know.
I think that's going to have to be the focus, at least for another week. But, you know, time's running out on them. Okay, they got San Francisco and... You know, barring unforeseen circumstances, they'll be 3-2-2 or 3-2-1. But they could easily be 3-4-1 at the halfway point because they've got the Rams and then they've got New England right after that.
Yeah, and you know that 3 or 4 week stretch. So not only is it the opponent of west to east and the travel, you get a home game against Miami. I think that's a game they can win, but it's a short week flying to Seattle. Like, it's the House of Horrors. So, and while Seattle's not that Seattle, that's still a place that's really hard to go win.
And bad for them. They've just, that's the House of Horrors there. You know?
So, I mean, so sure, they can win those games, or any one of them, but...
They just can't do it how they're playing.
No, right, exactly. Because those other... Look, L.A. started the way they've started. And New England usually begins to play its best football in November.
Yeah.
Especially at home.
And the Packers usually do, too. But they just can't get into this kind of hole. And I've never seen them so just out of sync offensively as they've been. Like, you know, I know they're adapting to not having Jordy Nelson. And I know they didn't have Allison and Cobb. But you expect better than that. You still got these two guys, Adams and supposedly Graham.
Yeah.
And that should be enough.
Yeah. Teams are scoring more points or less. I mean, again, I go back to the 30 minutes of football in week one, Tom, is still the most points this offense has scored.
Mm-hmm.
Because, you know, they got 7 on the punt return.
Yeah.
I mean, they haven't scored more than the 24 points.
Wow.
I mean, that's an almost an unbelievable thing to say after 5 weeks.
Yeah, it is. All right, well, we should cut this short because you're probably still ticked off about the Packers.
See, I'm dropping my phones are trying to get out of here, Tom.
Oh, man. Well, you know.
All over the place.
If you can't stand us, then switch over to our Brewers coverage. Cause it's
really good. Yeah, right?
Yeah, but it's more positive. Don't lose us. We're gonna still be here all week, and we'll try to figure out what's wrong with this team and if there's any hope for them to save themselves.
Right.
So be sure you join us for all our coverage during the week, and we'll be back